lawns and gardens. I'm your host, Teresa Watkins, garden expert. I'm a horticulturist, landscape designer, and garden author, and I am over the moon. Good morning, Lizzie. We are having a little bit of technical difficulties this morning, so hopefully we can hear everyone. And Lizzie, I just want to say a big heartfelt hug and thank you to you and Tom McCubbin so that I could go on this trip, and to the Best of English Gardens and the Chelsea Flower Show. And you and Tom did a fantastic job, of course. So we're a little bit of the rain this morning, and it's the start of hurricane season tomorrow. So it's very, very apropos, I think, to have technical difficulties due to the rain. So I want to, wish Tom, thank you so much. They did a great job, and hopefully he will come on every time that I am away. What an exciting trip. The weather was fantastic. While we were in England, we didn't get rain during the day at any of the gardens we visited. It all happened at night. It was wonderful. The temperatures were between 45 degrees and 65 degrees. Great, great weather for just touring gardens. And these gardens were sublime. We went to historical estates. We went to castles where they had the English natural landscapes, where we get our actual start of garden history, and quintessential public gardens that were beautiful by legendary landscape designers, and like Rosemary Very, her Barnsley home and gardens was amazing. So why do I go on these trips? Well, I'm going to be talking about that today, because as a landscape designer and wanting to know what I can use in gardens and what plants will work, what the themes that I like to use will work, I'm going to be talking a little bit about that today and just telling you a little bit about what I saw, new plants that are coming on the market. And I'll also talk about hurricanes. So hurricane season starts tomorrow. And so we'll be talking a little bit about how to prepare in your garden. Those of you that are new to Florida who've never experienced a Florida hurricane, there's things you need to know and things to look for in your landscape, and I will be discussing that. The June newsletter will be out next week, and if you do not get it, it is free. It is comes out every month. I don't spam. I don't sell your email. And I tell you what to do in your landscape each month. I have a plant of the month that I like to promote that I love. It's great to use, and I think you will love it too. Then I supply my design tips, little tips that you may not know how to use a plant in your yard or how to set up a outdoor room, little design tips that will help you. And then Lizzie provides us with her gardening adventures. And those are a lot of fun. She's having, like I said, turkey. She tells us about her turkey adventures. And I think she's a little over them. So the turkeys are getting bigger, and I want to hear about them today. Then I have my landscaper malpractice, how to know when to fire your landscaper. And this is a good column for landscapers to watch out for. These are things that I see in the landscape that are no-nos, that shouldn't be allowed, that if your landscaper does them, they need to be corrected and educated on. So landscape malpractice tips comes in the newsletter too as well. So we're going to be talking about that in the newsletter. And if you'd like to subscribe to the newsletter, you can go to my website, www.shehyphenconsulting.com, and you can sign up right on the landing page there, right there, and you'll get next month's newsletter right in the mail as it's delivered next week. So I would love to do that. Again, I am just overflowing with such ideas. I want to tell you about everything that we saw. We went to the Chelsea Flower Show, and it is always incredible. It is the oldest flower show in the world, and it just has so many vendors that come and display their items, what you can buy, and they will ship across the sea. I know that a lot of our guests on the trip, they took items home with them, and it was just a lot of fun to see how much joy they got out of attending the show. But you also got to see some incredible plant combinations and design tips. This year they had the theme was fashion, but also too, all the gardens had a theme of being accessible by disabilities, different types of disabilities, and compassion, mental health, and landscape gardens. Your yard is a type of therapy. It is good for you. And so we are going to be back with more of that this Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. If you'd like to give us a call, we are taking your calls this morning early. 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text me like Charlotte did in Plant City. I'm going to be talking about her text, 23680. Hurricane season starts tomorrow. And how do you explain to a state that rainfall, we need it here in Florida to replenish our aquifers? And tropical storms and the hurricanes drop a lot of rain, which does replenish our aquifers. And we need them. And so what are we expecting this year? Well, the experts say that we're going to get 13 to 19 storms. So that doesn't mean they're all going to go to Florida. If any of them come to Florida, we're going to get 13 to 19. 6 to 10 will turn into hurricanes. And then we're going to have 3 to 5 major hurricanes. Now, this is a guesstimate based on all the data that they're receiving from the weather satellites, and they can kind of forecast this very accurately. They have been accurate the last few years. And so what do you need to do? Well, one, you need to make sure that you have a checklist and you've gone through your disaster checklist. And you can go to floridadisaster.org and download the checkoff, what tells you what you need to have on hand in case we have a storm, and that you're without utilities, so that you're not without food and water and medical assistance. So go to floridadisaster.org, download the checklist, and check that out. Now, what can you do in your landscape? Well, this is important to protect your house, to protect your neighborhood just from debris flying, tornadoes. You want to make sure that you have these items checked off. So you want to make sure that you are using right plant, right place. Now, what I mean by that is you don't want trees too close to the house, that you are able to, that you know that all your trees are healthy, that there, it depends on the mature width. If an oak tree gets to be, let's say, 60 to 80 feet wide, then you want it at least 40 to 50 feet away from your house. Okay, if you're planting a tree and it gets to be 20 feet wide, you want it at least 15 feet away from your home. Okay, if not 20. Okay, it depends on the type of the tree. You want to make sure that you're not planting close to power lines. Okay, so there's that little barrier width underneath the power lines, and you want to measure how tall your tree is going to get, know the mature height, and plant it far enough away that if it falls, it's not going to be in the way of the power lines. Then also, too, you want to make sure you're choosing wind-resistant species. Now, how do you know what's a wind-resistant species? Well, for the most part, the native trees and palm trees that we have in Florida are resistant to hurricane winds, except if they're pruned improperly. And by that, I mean palm trees can handle the full force of a storm if they have the fronds, enough fronds to be resistant. If you're pencil pruning them or you're cutting off the green fronds and leaving only a little bit at the top of your palm tree, that palm tree is going to be more susceptible to breaking. You need to leave all of the fronds that are green in the palm tree, on the tree. The more you cut off the palm tree, the more susceptible it's going to be to wind breakage. All right? And that way you want to make sure that the wind resistance, trees like sable palms, crepe myrtles, gumbo limbo, live oak trees, and sea grape are some of the more popular native trees and non-natives that are wind resistant. Okay? So that you want to make sure that you're putting plants in the right place and that they're going to grow to the right height. You don't want them too tall up against the house. Now, regular pruning and maintenance, we were just talking about that with the palm trees. You only cut off the brown fronds. You leave the green fronds on the palm tree. That makes it healthier. It can go through photosynthesis, create chlorophyll, absorb the nutrients. That's what's important. But if you are pruning a plant often or even improperly pruning a large canopy tree, it can make it so that it breaks easier. The time to check your trees is in the springtime and in the wintertime. Right now, if you have not had your trees checked, I would do it immediately. Get a certified arborist to come and check your trees out. It is worth it to know that you have a healthy tree in your lawn that's not going to damage your home, damage the neighbor's property, and will survive a hurricane if it comes through. Also, too, you want to plant in groups of masses. I was so appreciative when we went to England that some of the places that we went to had trees massed around the outside of the islands, okay, and that the trees were planted in masses. They weren't there originally, but over the centuries and decades, they planted trees to form a wind barrier. Okay, and that will help your yard. So placing one or two may fit with your yard. And if you have a zero lot line, I'm not telling you to plant a lot of trees. Okay, so we have to have a little common sense about this. But if you're planting in masses, like your podocarpus hedge, your viburnum hedges, your ligustrum hedges, your southern cedars, planting them in rows to provide a windbreak for storms coming through, that's going to be beneficial for your landscape. You also want to make sure that when you know the rainy season is coming up, and we are in the rainy season for the last couple of weeks, a little early, that you turn your irrigation system off, or make sure that if you have an automatic irrigation system timer, that it has a rain shutoff device. The more saturated the ground, when we get the heavy rainfall, the more flooding is going to occur. And if you're irrigating all the time, or irrigating when we don't need it and we're getting the rainfall, your yard is going to be flooded. And it's going to be your whole neighborhood that's going to be affected. So make sure that your rain shutoff device is working. And it's a piece of technical equipment. I get landscapers and I get homeowners telling me they don't work, Teresa. It doesn't shut my system off. Well, that's because it's a piece of technical equipment. It needs to be maintained. You may need to replace the cork in it. It may need to be reset. It may be in the wrong location and is not receiving the rainfall that it should in an unobstructed location. So make sure that your rain shutoff device is working. Now, how do you do that? Well, you set it to 1/2 inch, okay? Because if we water twice a week, that's going to give you 1 inch of water a week. That is pretty much what the landscape needs. That's what your roses need. That's what your, you know, perennials need, your palm trees need. Now, I'm talking about established plants. I'm not talking about new plants that need to have the extra water, okay, or frequent watering to become established.
If you have an established yard, 1 inch of water will manage, will be enough rainfall for your yard, will be enough for your turf. Okay, 1 inch of water. So set your irrigation shutoff device for 1/2 inch. Then what you can do then is take your hose, turn your irrigation sprinkler system on, and while your irrigation system is running, you shoot the irrigation water up into your rain shutoff device. And once it reaches 1/2 inch, your system should shut down. That will tell you if it's working or not. The other easy step to show if it's working or not is that you have rain gauges that show you the amount of water you have. And I suggest this for every yard, to have just a rain gauge in the yard so you can see physically how much water rainfall you're getting. Because I will tell you, here in Florida, across the street, they could get 1/2 inch of water or rainfall, or 1 inch of rainfall, and your yard will get 1/16th of an inch, and you still need to irrigate. Okay, so having a rain gauge, and these are less than $5, less than $10, that you can put somewhere in an unobstructed place, and it will tell you how much rain you've gotten, and you will know if you've gotten 2 inches of rain this week and your irrigation system's going on, you know your irrigation shutoff device is not working. So you need to check that out. And then you want to make sure that when we have a hurricane coming, that you are going around the yard, pick up all your knickknacks, your garden art, secure everything so it doesn't fly around. Tomorrow starts, June 1st starts the hurricane season. We've got it all the way through October 1st. I'm knocking on wood that we're not going to have a bad year, but you want to be prepared. Go to floridadisaster.org and download that checklist. I'm Teresa Watkins from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. To Better Lawns and Gardens. Yes, we are having some technical issues. Good morning, Lizzie.
Good morning. I appreciate our listeners for being patient with this. Holy cheese and crackers. Technology, it's great. We all should do it. We should have it. We can't live without it, is what they say. And
I know you were working hard back there. I could see the sweat just falling.
And our program director, Ken Holliday, I just woke him up. You know, he was just, not that woke him up, but I just brought his focus in. He was already awake. The man's up 24/7. But yeah, so thank you for your patience, everybody. So Teresa, we're glad that you're back.
Thank you so much. Well, it's always fun to go, but it's always fun to come back. I miss everybody. I just wish I could take you, Lizzie, and Tom, and just everybody with us when we go on these trips.
One day.
That will be great. And so you've had a little bit of adventures. Tell us about your turkeys.
Okay, crazy chaos. So now our littler ones are now, this week they hit 8 weeks old, which that's the safe. You hit that line of turkeys at 8 weeks, then they're pretty resilient after that. So, but now we have to have a spot to put them. So we're having to extend and add a whole nother turkey run area and divide Gerald's big run that we had for him because he was king, divide that in half to move one of our other Toms over. And so, yeah, it's a lot of
chaos. You're going to have Turkey City out there.
I'm done. We literally, I'm going out and checking the eggs twice a day. I pull them in the morning and I pull them at night and I put them in the fridge. And we only get two eggs a day, okay, at this moment. But I make sure that they stop incubating the second they're laid and put them in the fridge, and then we can eat them.
And they're delicious, too. We made beautiful quiches with them and loved them, and so they're very good. And so also too, your article in the newsletter this month is fantastic. So we're looking forward to getting that out to everyone. So what should you be doing this month in June? Well, this is the month if you want to plant new landscaping. go ahead and do it, because you're going to have a lot of rainfall for the next 3 to 4 months that's going to help you get your plants established. So all kinds of great plants can take full sun. I mean, you can, the list is pentas and tibicinas and plumbagos and firebushes and also mahonias, lots of great plants that will thrive in your landscape here. And I was surprised at seeing how many, because I've got new ones coming in, crocosmias and things like that, that are just doing fantastic. Ooh. With the full sun.
Oh, yes.
And so I love doing that. So Charlotte in Plant City, she has a question, a text message. And a perfect text message, Lizzie, is what?
First name, make up a name, but make sure you recognize that name when we call your name. And then where you're from, because she needs to know what zone you're in so she can tell you the proper care of what you're asking for. And then a brief synopsis of what you're asking.
That's wonderful. And so Charlotte in Plant City sent a perfect text message. She says, we have an elm tree that is sprouting smaller trees around it. Suspect these are becoming, they're coming from the roots. Is there anything that can be done to control these sprouts aside from mowing? Thank you. Enjoy the rain. We are going to have a lovely day today, Charlotte, with the rain. I am so looking forward to it. So I'm suspecting this is a Drake elm. And Drake elms, their root systems are very prone to sending up suckers. Okay, and that's because their surface roots are, well, that's why they're called surface roots, are close to the surface. And they, when they get nicked by the lawnmower blades, they're going to produce new growth, and they're going to start to send up more branches and, you know, just start a whole new little elm tree. So now what you can do is, Charlotte, is you can use a product called Sucker Stopper, okay? And you can get it at the hardware stores. You can get it at the box stores. You can also get it online. And so Sucker Stopper, you put it down in the area where your suckers are stopping or coming up, and it will stop them from coming up. But let's prevent them, Charlotte. Let's not plant or let's not mow that area. So if you have grass underneath your elm tree, you need to widen that garden bed underneath it, that area underneath it, and just mulch it so that you're not mowing there and causing the problem. Okay, and so anytime the roots get nicked, they're going to start to send up suckers. All right, so we don't necessarily want to do that. We want to create a bigger bed underneath there, and you can plant flowers underneath there, and that will be fine, but we just don't want to mow underneath a tree. That will happen.
And can I ask our listeners, you guys are very excellent at texting. Would you mind texting us? Because our person, our digital person, Brooke Steele, who also fills in here too sometimes, she's working on something for the hurricane season, because we don't seem to get a lot of hurricanes until September, October-ish.
Right.
So she's working on putting videos together now. So text us your first name. You don't even have to put your city on this one, but you can. And let us know, what is the one thing that you have to do to feel comfortable to be ready for a hurricane coming?
Okay.
Like, I mean, before, not 5 hours before it gets here.
Right.
Okay. So what you need to do to prepare to make yourself comfortable. And then the one crazy snack that you have to have.
Okay. That'll keep Brooke busy. And so thank you to Pinky in Port Orange. Hopefully she can hear us now. She was telling us about the technical issues. Thank you so much. Please bear with us. And usually it doesn't happen a lot, but it can, technical difficulties.
By the grace of God, I've worked on other shows that it has crashed in the middle of the show, every show. But yes, thank you. And we appreciate our listeners. Our listeners keep us informed, so thank you.
1-888-455-2967. Or you can text me 23680. So we have somebody texted in last week, said, I was wondering what type of plant I could put in front of a little white fence that separates my yard from my neighbors. There are no plants out in front of it. It was just our front lawn, and it could use some foliage. It's in the sun all day. I was thinking maybe boxwood, but I'm a former Yankee girl, so I'm not familiar with many Florida plants. Thank you. Well, I love this question, because there's so many things that you can plant in front of it. And so do not plant boxwoods, okay? That's a little bit of high maintenance. And for my English gardens, I do that. I plant back boxwood around, but not for you because you're a Yankee girl and new to Florida. And so, again, the list, plumbagos, the Calusa firebush, the pentas, thryalis. There are so many beautiful flowers. So when you go to the store, the garden centers and the nurseries, what you want to look for is the height of your white fence. How tall do you want to have this flowering shrub? Okay. And if your white picket fence is 3 to 4 feet, then you're looking for a plant that's only going to get to be 3 foot tall, can take full sun, and has no pest problems. So you need to ask those three questions. Okay. How much sun can this take? The shrub, how much sun can this shrub take? How much water does it need? And then does it have a bug named after it? Now, if you can handle those three things, then you can you have literally hundreds and hundreds of plants to choose from. So thank you so much, Yankee Girl, for your text message. We're going to be back with your phone call and my favorite top five plants from the Chelsea Flower Show. Stay tuned. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. And now, Teresa's top five.
I will tell you, this top five this week are plants that I had zone envy on my Best of English Gardens tour. I love them, but I found out that a lot of them can be grown here. One, which can't be grown here, variegated dogwood. What a gorgeous tree. We can't grow them here in Florida, but it was gorgeous. Two, variegated lily of the Nile. Took my breath away. Green and white foliage with the flowers, the purple and the white flowers. Incredible. We can grow them here in Central Florida. We just got to find them. So hopefully a grower is listening and we'll bring to Florida the variegated lily of the Nile. Ornamental alliums were all over every garden we went to and the Chelsea Flower Show this year. Those are gorgeous. Good news is that we can grow them here in the wintertime. You can plant them in November and enjoy them all the way through April. Wonderful. My top four, Fatsia japonica spider's web, green and white, maple leaf that just looks gorgeous, large, large foliage, great in your garden. Fatsia japonica spider's web. Look for it, ask for it. And then my final top five zone envy from the Best of My English Gardens tour. Platter-sized double begonias took my breath away too. So these were gorgeous. They were 6 to 8 inches wide and just beautiful. Double begonias, can't get better than that. Thank you, Lizzie, for my top five plants. I had zone envy. I will have them on my blog, and I'll show you pictures of it. And you can also go to our Facebook page, Better Lawns and Gardens, and you can see photos from the Chelsea Flower Show. Just a brief few.
Yes, please, a brief few. You had how many thousands? But you only
I did. I took
few.
Thousands of photographs. And
you need to go see, because the one that you were saying, the double, is a double begonia?
Yes. They're huge, aren't they? Oh, my goodness. But yes. we can grow them here. So I'm looking to see where I can get a vendor and look for it. And when I find it, I'll let you guys know.
Yes.
So it's wonderful. So Joyce and Okoe, she texted. And if you'd like to call, we have a few more minutes left. 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text 23680. But Joyce and Okoe has a perfect text message. She said she has a backyard with St. Augustine. Looks great right now. I bet it does, Joyce. I'm wondering if it's too late to retreat with a crabgrass pre-emergence product. So Joyce, no, you don't want to use an herbicide this time of the year and it preventative. You don't want to do anything to impact your St. Augustine. It's looking good. Leave it alone. If you have crabgrass issues in the fall, what you can do is put the pre-emergence down then. Okay, I would say the beginning of October, and then you put it down, and then you can put it down again probably around the end of March, first part of April, and then that should do you for the year, okay? And so, but the best way to prevent crabgrass and weeds in your landscape is to have a healthy, dense St. Augustine lawn or zoysia lawn, whatever kind of grass you have. It's got to be healthy, and it's got to be maintained correctly. What does that mean? That means fertilized as needed. Get a soil test before you fertilize anything. Find out what your soil needs and just supply those nutrients, okay, those minerals, whatever it needs. Then you want to maintain it by pruning it correctly. Whether it's a shrub or your turf, you want to mow at the correct height, not too, you don't want to scalp, and you don't want to let it get too long, okay, and so that you're having to cut off so much of the grass at one time. And again, with your shrubs, just throughout the year, just go ahead and take your secateurs, your pruners, and just trim the branches that sprout out, that come out, rather than hacking back the shrub all the time. So like loropetalums, we see this a lot in loropetalums, which is the burgundy shrub with beautiful pink flowers that kind of remind me of witch hazel and forsythia. And so what people are doing, they're just cutting it once a month. Your landscapers are cutting it once a month or once every 2 months. And they're cutting off the blooms. Let the plants grow, okay? And if they're too big for that area, what does that mean? Wrong plant, wrong place. Find another area to plant it in so that it can grow to be what it wants to be. And you get to see lovely flowers. Then when you have flowering shrubs, you prune after they've finished blooming. That's a great time to cut it back. You cut shrubs back by a third, and there's no real issue. If you cut them back by more, you're probably going to delay it from sprouting out again, producing new leaves, if you hack it back to where it's too woody. Now, it will recover, but it's just going to struggle a little bit and take a long time. If you do it a little bit at a time and at the right time of the year, you have a beautiful, beautiful landscape. All right. So that's a great question. Joyce, thank you so much for asking when to use an herbicide. So when the temperatures are over 85 degrees here in Florida, you do not want to use an herbicide. And so when I see the commercials on TV saying now's the time to fertilize your lawn in the middle of summertime.
Oh,
you've seen them, Lizzie, right?
Yes.
No, not in Florida. Not in Florida. You don't want to use chemicals or weed and feeds when the temperatures are over 85 degrees. One, because the weed is stronger than your turf, okay? And so your weed is going to survive. Your turf may not, okay? So you can get a chance of burning your turf. So you don't want to use an herbicide when the temperatures are over 85 degrees. And, you know, it's in the label instructions. It'll tell you when to use it and at what temperatures do not use in. So following the instructions are always the best. And so great question. What to do this month? Again, you want to make sure that you're set for the hurricanes. I think that's the biggest priority right now. And don't cut your palm trees. Please don't. Do not hurricane prune them. In some cities in Florida, it's against the law to do that. And I will tell you, I've had landscapers that tell me, Teresa, my clients tell me, my homeowner tells me that if I don't cut them, they're going to find somebody who will.
Oh.
And they do that with the crepe myrtles. They commit crepe murder. There's no reason to do it. No reason to cut a nice, lovely, healthy green frond off of your palm tree. That's what it's supposed to do. So palm trees are not, they're not your typical tree. They're not your typical shrub. They are a grass. And they get all their nutrients from their fronds. If you only leave 2 to 3 fronds on your palm tree, it's going to be susceptible to disease and insects. Plus, a lot of these companies do not sterilize their tools as they're going from house to house to house, community to community. And we're seeing our palm trees die because of disease being spread or insects being attracted to palm trees that are struggling with trying to be healthy. All right, so you don't want to do that. So in the next hour, we're going to come back. Lizzie, I just want to thank all of our sponsors.
Yes.
We have the greatest sponsors. Dana Venrick with Quality Green Specialists in DeLand has beautiful plants right now and gorgeous. I just want to go over there and just say, okay, I'm going to take this, 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 and this and come back to my yard.
Yes.
I don't have that big of a yard.
I never knew that you could have olive trees in the state of Florida, and he's got them.
They're beautiful, mm-hmm. too. Beautiful. And he will help you get those. Also to Peterson's Nursery in Lakeland. The roses, I kept thinking of Howie and Karen, and I thought, oh, I've got to bring them over here and see these roses.
Right.
Catherine's Rose, wait till you see. I'm going to be posting photographs. But we can grow beautiful roses here in Florida, and Peterson's Nurseries can show you how to do it.
Exactly.
And their roses are quality and just gorgeous. It's just amazing. So I love roses. They're not hard to take care of. You can do that. But also, black cow manure, great for the yards. That manure for your landscape looks great. It helps the soil. We need to add more organic amendments to our sandy soils. Black cow is one of them. And then we have Summit Responsible Solutions Studios.
Yes.
Right here at iHeart Radio Station. Summit Responsible Solutions has wonderful mosquito prevention products.
Yes.
That are organic. And we'll stop other insects, too, as well. So check them out at SummitResponsibleSolutions.com.
Yes, and I just literally went out and did our back pasture area with the mosquito bits.
Yes.
So
yes.
Yep.
And they have year-round oil spray, and they just got great products that are healthy to use in your landscape, healthy for pets, healthy for the birds, and for wildlife. And so we just really appreciate them being a sponsor. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.